up here. It's gonna be the rapper. Put the beat on. Yeah, get that Jenny Kiss drop. Put the fucking beat on.
Let me know when we're ready.
We are good to go.
I don't know if that helped.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe this time, bye. I'm a hometown hero, average Joe superstar. When I'm riding through the hood, little kissy, that's my car. Passenger be bad as shit, classifier as a 10. Looking for her, you ain't seen her, more than likely that's your bitch. That's the game, how it goes. Got no chain, got no rolls.
How you feel when people play your music around you?
Yo, it's funny, it's like, I like it.
Yeah,
yeah. It just reminds me where I was at and what I was doing when I did the song.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. I'm also like, I don't know. I think everybody kind of get like in a little shy state when they hear their stuff, any type of work they do. But I like it, man. Yeah, it's just cool.
When I like when my album plays, I'm like immediately like shut that off. Like I don't want to hear it.
Hey man, it was a time of life. I did it. That song is funny too, because it's like I woke up, it was like 7 a.m. my homie sent the beat, and I was like, I recorded it in a closet at my crib. I was like, yeah, I was like, this might be a good record, man. And I sent it to the homie. He was like, I like that. He beefing with me right now though, so what's up, Ba? How you doing? I miss you, man.
Oh man, beef, man.
Nah, that's my dog.
That's the thing. Like rap, y'all can just record any time, any place. Like y'all can, you know, like stand up. You can't make a 5 p.m. in Toronto because nobody's at the show. Right. You know, like the show's at 8. The show's at 10.
You in there by yourself just talking.
Like. Yeah. You can't do 5 a.m. in Japan or whatever. It's just like, well, I don't know. I've never been to Japan.
I don't like recording at night, though. I'm a morning dude. Like, I like to, because, you know, you start, I don't really smoke or drink when I'm recording. So it's like, I don't want nothing that makes me feel sleepy in the nighttime make me feel sleepy. So, like, even when I used to go, like, write for people, I'd be like, I just do it before I get there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even, sometimes I know that vibe. Like, I bounce an idea and I'll be like, all right, I'll go record it and bring it back sometimes.
What about like a late night into morning? Because, like, you always hear the stories about, yeah, so-and-so came in, it was 2 a.m, and you know, we got it done, blah, blah, blah. Like, how are you in that type of scenario?
It just depends on what I'm feeling, like what my energy is on. But to be honest, I don't like that shit. Like studio sessions, man, they not really fun for real. You know what I mean? Especially like if it ain't people you normally work with, and a lot of times, like, you know, yeah, like you might be working with somebody who got their homie in there that just always want to input on something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And like sometimes it's good, sometimes it's like, hey, shut the fuck up. But yeah, I'm good on the late night. Like, give me in the morning. Like, try to treat it like a job for real. Like, and if I was at the crib working, that's a different story. Like, I could do late night. Like, if I get an idea, I got to work on it right away. But studios, man, a lot of times, some of them, sometimes they ain't got no energy, man. It's just it's kind of stale feeling. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
I guess before we get in all of that, I should introduce our guest. We got Sean Fallon in the building. I feel like I coined the phrase Sean Fallon be everywhere, but I can't really prove that. But I've definitely said it before. I've seen it in writing, but that doesn't mean other people probably said it too.
So the person that coined the phrase Sean Fallon be everywhere was actually Corey Moe out of Houston, Texas.
Okay.
Shout out to Corey Moe, Country Rap Tunes, super producer. He produced
UGK,
Pimp C, all that stuff, and he just won a Grammy with Killer Mike on the Killer Mike album.
Okay.
But when Corey Moe moved from Houston to Atlanta, I saw him literally everywhere I went that week. like, and you know how Atlanta is, like, you might be at some hood shit, and you be at some bougie shit, and you be like, so everywhere I went, I ran in there. He was like, and he said, God damn, Sean Fallon be everywhere. And I said, I'm taking that. And then,
man,
fast forward, the first project I put out, which you helped me to put out, and I know, I don't know if you know that, but Sean Fallon be everywhere is my first project. Yeah, you drove me to the studio.
I did drive you to the studio, but
he helped me. Like, I did a majority of the work of that project when you drove me to the studio.
That's crazy. I got restless. I felt like it was too slow for me.
It was chilling.
The creative process was way too slow.
Yo, my studio session was
just watching Fast Five and just chilling. I was like, I'm out of here, man. I wanted to see like some drums getting programmed or something.
See, that I came in with all this, like, that's, I work weird. Like, my shit already be done.
Right.
And then I go in with it already written and just ready to lay it down. So, like, my studio sessions be boring when it's me by myself. It be boring as hell.
That was a long time ago. Right. Yeah,
it was like, shit, damn it, 15 years ago.
I was on spring break in college.
Right.
Yeah. Like, what'd you do, man?
Set it up for this.
Tree sounds, and then, you know, I don't know. I left. I don't know what happened. Oh, I hope he got back. I don't know.
Nah, it was good times back then.
Yeah. I remember it was so far. We went to Zaxby's.
Yeah.
We had to stop at Zaxby's on the way. Yeah.
Damn, man. That shit was literally like almost 15 years ago.
Right, right.
Crazy.
You are the first person I told that I was going to do stand-up, which is nuts.
I remember.
Because I was saying it before I even knew what it took, where to do it. I just was like,
I was like, do that shit.
You know, it was like, I was surrounded by this scene. And I think that night was that Wiz Khalifa concert where the promoter had Wiz Khalifa, the headliner, go up first.
Yo, was that was that Cincy, like in the basement?
Yeah.
Yo, I performed at that show.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
A lot of people performed after Wiz.
Man, rest in peace, Big Grip Pliers.
Grip Pliers.
Elliot
Craig. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think what happened that
night. Naya Mums.
Yeah, damn.
Yeah.
I don't think Wiz was supposed to be the headliner.
Oh.
Because, like, I think what's funny, shout out to Will Taylor Gang. Will brought that up to me one day. Just like, yeah, remember we did the show and da-da-da-da. And I was just like, oh shit, where did they go before us? That was random.
He went first, and he had a gang of people there, you know, pun intended, to see him.
Yeah.
And then
it was just like,
he went outside after he set the smoke, and then all the people that came to see him walked outside.
Yo, that shit was. But see, you got to think, though, because I still got pictures from that. I'll send them to you, too. But that night was crazy, because that was a time in Atlanta, like, when our scene. Like, it didn't matter who came. Like, we was the scene. Because even, like, them people came back in and that shit was packed.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, you remember, like, that shit was a world in its own, man.
I remember Wiz had a Nuka watch, but it was, like, the fat one.
Yeah, that everybody wanted. Remember that.
I never saw, like, somebody with the fat joint. And then,
damn, those are some. That was like the real streetwear.
You
had to get had a Dunny doll and
everything. And all nothing that. You had on could be from the mall,
right?
But like, undergarments. Everything else had to be from a boutique.
Like I was like the only one. I was wearing a lot of Adidas though.
Yeah, because you was at the Adidas original store at Lenox.
Exactly. Yeah. But see, I wore it so much before I even got that job. The only reason I got that job is because my homie that was a manager at the time was like, yo, you working on music. I know you don't really need this, but just come hang out, get some free clothes, and make some money. And I was like, all right. And then he fired me, too.
I would see you at Lenox. I'd go to Lenox, you know, chop it up with Sean for a little while.
Yeah, man.
Like, I'd be shocked now when I don't see you in Adidas. It does feel like, man.
Yo, people be mad at me, man.
Cheating.
Be mad at me, man. I always, you know, liked other sneakers. I just was like, I don't know. I just got locked in on Adidas. And then they started sending me shit. That was like my thing, because my homie that hired me, he had to fire me, but that's still one of my good friends. And he actually helped start me traveling, because after he fired me, I was gone. I was out.
Yeah.
But the thing was like I did my first release party for Sean Fally and Be Everywhere at the Lennox Adidas.
Oh, that's crazy.
And that shit had my big painting in front of the mall. I was like, how you get fired from a place that you have
that's lit.
That you have your release party at that shit. And it was mad people that came out. That shit was pretty crazy.
I feel like Adidas Originals, I don't think people remember, like, but it was like its own, you know, it wasn't like the regular Adidas you could just get at, like, Ross or at, like, Foot Locker or something. Real lifestyle. It was like its own thing. It was only in certain markets. Mm-hmm. They stores was always in, like, a little bougie area, because I remember like going hipster. To the store in Chicago, and it was, like, off in the tuck. I feel like I went somewhere else and went to one, but they was only in select spots.
I think they only had 12 stores in the country at the time. But yeah, that was like, I mean, it's still to this day, like the original stuff is the stuff that is still like, you know, people look for, you know, the vintage style stuff.
Yeah, because once that stuff's gone, it's gone.
Right.
It's not like some of the other stuff where people knew to get to and preserve it. And so, you know, like the other day, this picture popped up of the Clips, and Malice has on like trefoil shirt, and it's got like two women on it, like popping out of the trefoil. Everybody's like, "What is that shirt?" And I'm like, "Yeah, y'all not gonna find that.
Yeah, I mean,
y'all gonna find everything Pusha got on in this pic. Y'all gonna find it, you know, because
they had some gems.
Re-releases and stuff. But yeah."
I was going through, like, I was giving away mad shit. Because at a point in time, like, shout out to John Wexler, if y'all know anything. He gave Kanye the deal at first. But he started sending me shit, man. He was sending, like, I had boxes and shit. Yeah, coming to my crib.
Oh, man. Yeah,
coming to my crib. Shout out to Wex. Wex is at, I think he at Shopify or something.
Come on, one of the few execs that did the Breakfast Club.
Right. Crazy, right?
Yeah. I think he signed P, too. I think he signed Pharrell as
well.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
I believe so. But, he just, like, he showed love early in the game and was just, like, connecting me. They would just see me with stuff, and I'd just be like, y'all need this. But, you know, like, some of this stuff was harder to get because, that you know, everybody asking for it. But, that was a good-ass time, man. I ain't mad at it.
What make I know you're originally from Philadelphia. What made you move to Atlanta?
Man, my father moved down here in 1999. He was staying with my cousin. I came to visit going from 1999 going into – actually, I came to visit from 2000 going into 2001.
Just missed Freaknik.
That was just having this conversation like 2 days ago.
Because Freaknik 99 was like it's over.
Yeah,
you know, like,
that's what
like,
everybody was saying.
Like, Freaknik 99, there was a lot of complaints. And then 2000, Ray Lewis happens. The whole city is different.
I literally came, like, right after that. All that shit happened. And, like, in Philly, we had the Greek picnic. You know what I mean? Greek fest.
Okay.
Like, you know, in the summertime.
Okay.
That was our Freaknik. You know, I don't think it was as crazy as Freaknik. But, like, similar things was happening.
Yeah.
And around that time, 99 was, like, when that shit stopped, too.
Okay.
So, similar situations. But when I got down here, I came to visit my pop, and then one of my homegirls was down here going to from college, but she from my neighborhood, and she had moved down here. So we was hanging out, and at the time, I had already knew DJ Jelly, I knew a Baby D.
Okay.
And because I had met them up near my college in Pittsburgh with my homeboy that was on the radio.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to a school called IUP in the middle of Pennsylvania. It's like 45 minutes from Pittsburgh. And one of my homeboys, GQ, DJ GQ, was on the radio out there. And I used to go up.
Omar Epps?
Nah. Which is crazy. Omar Epps is actually my cousin on some ancestry shit. But anyway. But yeah, anyway, man, my homie was on the radio. And I used to go up there and I would sling these shirts that I made.
Mm-hmm.
So I would meet all these artists. So I met Baby D, Jelly. And when I came down here to visit, I'm like, they just had me in the club. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, next to all these celebrities, and you know, coming from Philly, like we wasn't really like starstruck type people, but it was just like I didn't see that many people that looked like me having fun like that, and being successful. Because you gotta think, I came down here, I was probably like 19, 20, the first time,
okay,
and then it was like I seen people that's like 21, 22 with big ass houses,
Yeah.
And cars and all that. And I'm like, yo, man, like, you know, I'm coming from row homes and apartments. It was like, I knew people that had cribs, but it was just like, I wasn't expecting to see that. So I went back and then I came back and was like, yeah, I'm moving. You know what I'm saying? So,
I got you.
Yeah.
What size shirt did you give Baby D?
I gave Baby D, it was a, probably a 4X. Yo, and it was crazy. It's his, when he was in the Source magazine the first time, he got my shirt that I made.
Really?
Him on. Yeah.
I remember Baby D, he played in the Jason Terry All-Star Game, which was like a charity game that they had. And his shorts were so huge. He could barely, like, move up the court. Like, it was the baggy era. It's like 02. It's like everybody's super baggy.
Overbagged.
But he's like, I got to be the baggiest.
That's like I'm going to get you sucker with over gold, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, man, that was big shirt era, for real. Because I remember, now Bone Crusher was another cat that I gave him a shirt he wore in Sierra Goody's video. And rest in peace, my brother Lil C, man. Yeah, man. Okay, like, big shout out to Jelly, Monte, Voodoo, Unk. I remember the day Unk told me he was about to start rapping.
Really?
It was on. It was at David Banner video shoot for Crank It Up. Rest in peace, Static Major. He was the feature on that joint.
Wow.
Yeah, we was all in like an RV talking, and it was me, DJ Unk, Paul Wall. I forget who else. Baby D was there. My homie Monte, Voodoo, and Michael 5000 Watts from Houston. They was always all talking.
Wow.
And Unk was like, yo, my nickname is something else than Sean Fallon. So Unk called me my nickname and was like, yo, I'm about
it's
to
still
start
a secret.
Rapping. It ain't really a secret. It's Fade. Like, my nickname back home was Fade.
Okay.
But so he was like, yo, Fade, I'm about to, because they didn't know me from at Sean Fallon. They knew me as Fade. And
yeah,
I was doing clothing for him and stuff. So Unk was like, yo, man, I'm about to do music. He's like, I'm about to put a song out. I got this song with Maceo. You should listen. He's like, listen to it. So he played. I was like, oh, this shit jamming. And then, like, you know, that comes out, then Walk It Out Two Step. I was like, yeah, that's crazy.
That first DJ Unk album
was, all right.
Was the soundtrack of that time.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
He turned us up out here for a minute, man. That was a good ass time, yo. I said the other day, I lived so many lives in Atlanta.
Right. Yeah, because I feel like this era is, you know, like.
Shout out to Monte, man. Behind a lot of this production, too.
Really?
Yeah, DJ Monte.
We had, like, I feel like we would, it would change every year.
Yo.
It would change every year. Like I think other places, there's, like, a mode for a while. You know, like it's something monumental has to happen to, like, change the mode. And here, it would just be, like, phases. And then it would just, like, so, like, Walk It Out was, you know, like, you had the Snap era, and then you had Walk It Out, Two Step, you know, all of that. Hold on, hold.
Around dances a lot, though.
Yeah.
Dances. It was, like, dancing in the strip club. Those were the two main things that changed everything. And, like, Atlanta's such its own microcosm, kind of how, like, people look at Houston, that this shit lived so hard, so crazily inside of 285 that it just didn't matter, like, if it didn't get outside of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I got a folder my homie sent me a while ago of 1,000 Snap songs, Snap era songs.
And I was 1,000?
Like, 1,000. I'm not bullshitting. If I can find this folder again, I was going through, and it's all, like, mixtape stuff and all that. I'm like, yo, where the... And I remember all the records. I was like, yo, this
there
is
was
crazy.
Whatever, like, pop, there everybody was, like, thousands of copycats. Yeah, there was, like, okay, white tea pop, black tea, pink tea, brown tea, you know?
Hey, yo,
like,
first of all, I got to say this. I'm a Gucci Mane black tea remix fan. That's I'm that Gucci Mane fan.
Oh, of course. Of course.
When that jaw dropped, that, I was like, all right.
Yeah, I feel like that's, like, the, okay, there's life after Icy.
Right.
You know?
Matter of fact, I think that might have been before Icy. Because I remember that video dropped before Icy. I'm like,
okay.
Yeah, man. All time. And I was living on Boulder Crest. I still live nearby. This, that video was so crazy, man. Like, it was just
I don't remember the video.
If you get to see the video, that shit was just like real life. Like, it's ooh, like somebody, it's like some, yo, the crazy, it's like if you had your a camera phone now,
yeah,
and you just filmed your homies with guns, I remember, and black tees on their face.
I remember Kick a Door.
Right.
I remember that, and that being like, all right, this is some, this is a hood video.
Hey, man.
They definitely just like in someone's kitchen. And just, yeah, they yo, just rapping the song. I don't remember Black Tee. And I don't know how I would have saw it because this is before I knew about YouTube.
Yo, so I'm trying to, I was on YouTube. But
it
might
have been on a, it had to have been on a DVD. DVD.
It was definitely on the DVD. That's, I saw it on the DVD. Because I know.
DJ, motherfucking
rail. Oh, Utah, my bad.
Nah, yo, but you gotta think, me, like, I'm coming from Philly.
Yeah.
Seeing, like, I ain't gonna sit up here and act like I lived in a super hood, but, you know, I'm all over the place. And then I come down here, and, like, a lot of my family from South Carolina, so, like, when I would see the hood, I'm like, yeah, I know it's the hood. But I moved off of Boulder Crest, but in the Ellenwood area of it, you know what
got
I'm saying?
Got you.
And then I'm like, oh, shit, I'm riding, and all the stuff they rapping about, I, like, live up the street,
yeah,
bro, you know
yeah,
I mean? Sun Valley, you know what I mean? The Texaco, like, I'm like, this stuff I'm at every day. And I'm like, damn, did I make the right decision? But, nah, it was always cool, though.
Right there by the Checkers. Like, I know
facts,
that Checkers.
Facts. That Checkers, that Checkers was done after, like, because I had the A&W next to it. That joint right next to it. I was like, damn, that joint came and went. They trapped that shit out.
Have you ever heard the MC Shadee song, Ellenwood?
Nah, I didn't. Damn, that's crazy. I didn't.
He's got a Ellenwood song. It makes you think it nope, might have been different back in the day. Oh, wait, this is a...
Kind of like
this is different than what I'm thinking.
Kind of like the crime mob joint, Ellenwood area.
Yeah.
Fuck with us, we bury you. Shout out to Princess.
Shout out to Princess.
Shout out to Diamond too. I met Diamond when I first moved here. She lived around the corner from me.
I've never met Diamond, but still shout out to Diamond. Yeah. I remember one time we was coming back on the road from a show, maybe in South Carolina,
mm-hmm,
and we saw Princess at the gas station.
That's my dog.
Like, she was not trying to be noticed. She was just trying to get some gas, and yeah, we like ran over. Like, oh up, my God!
Nah, that's the homie. She actually just she popped up and performed at my Some Good party, like at the top of this month. Her and Lil J.
They would come to Athens,
mm-hmm,
and fight.
Hey.
Like on a like 6 month, like we'll be back in 6 months. Like
to fight.
I mean, they could not get through their set list without fighting. You know, like I think we thought, okay, a fight's gonna break out. They're gonna do Nuck If You Buck and I'll beat your ass.
Right.
Eventually someone's gonna fight someone there. But we didn't think they were gonna fight Crime Mob. I swear they would fight.
Hey man.
The people of Athens would fight Crime Mob all the time at Club Insomnia. It's probably got like 5 name changes since then.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah. You just got to know you about to fight when you perform
your
song.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you got to get ready for battle.
Hey, damn, man. Mm-hmm. Hey, Princess, you was out there swinging and throwing them bows. Shout out to my homegirl, Princess, man.
It's one of the great rap songs where you have a group, you have males and females, and the women's verses are just way more memorable.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know? I love the first verse, but it's just not, you know, well.
They came in.
I love that it starts with well.
Right.
Well, I'm a ghetto episode.
Like somebody asked him a question first. I mean, so how did you get the nucking if you bucking? Well, I'm a gat toting pistol.
Nigga, on your damn street. I'm on your street.
Hey, yo, that's funny as shit. Nah, well. Man, the funniest part of that song, and it's not even supposed to be funny, is like when Diamond gets super lyrical in the verse. He's like, well, not lyrical, but like using all the big words, yeah, all the syllables, yeah, real fast.
Yeah.
I was like,
that said, like, I'm a teenager, yeah, but I need y'all to treat me like an adult. Like, that's a, like, I'm going to show y'all my vocab so that y'all don't put me in the teeny bopper category. And also,
rapping.
I'm going to name drop all the people we've been in war with the past 50 years. Saddam Hussein, Hitler, and Osama bin Laden. That's crazy. That's crazy. All over the country, this song is rapped. Where there's a part where nobody, like, nobody blurs it out, nobody looks strange, they just rap it. Saddam Hussein, Hitler, and Osama bin Laden.
And it's crazy that they all go together.
Right.
It can fit into
bin
a
Laden
bar.
Is alive. He's putting out tapes at the time.
He was putting out tapes at the time. It's a wild time.
Like, bin Laden's out here. You know, Saddam Hussein was alive, too. Wait a minute. Like,
Hip hop and I love hip hop, but hip hop always ends up Dipset Taliban. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was just like, I love this shit, but then I'm like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Hey man, hip hop is interesting, man.
Hip hop is interesting. I think that's what makes the Donald Trump thing so complicated.
Yeah.
Is he was like the go-to. Trump rhymes with a lot of things. You know, he's Black in Trump. Home Alone too. Like, you know, Ray Shrummer, I don't know if they know, a lot, but they definitely like had a up like Donald Trump's, like up like Trump and him running for office are not that far apart.
Nah, they're not. What was that?
Donald Trump.
Man, what year was that? 2013?
Yeah.
Yo, so I did. It's crazy, man. It's all over.
Like, somebody was playing this and then went to the correspondence dinner where Obama roasted Donald Trump.
I did one of the. I think I did their first show in Atlanta with them.
Really?
At Apache.
No Flex Zone?
It was. I don't even know.
Did they have the zone yet?
I don't know if they had it yet. I think. And it was like 2011. It was right before No Flex Zone came out, too, though. But no, like, super dope. Cool. He used to be managed by this dude. He passed away, but that I knew. They actually owed me money. And okay. He was like introducing him to me. And I'm like, where my money at? But I was like, yo, they dope.
That's my ticket out of here, man. You understand? Man,
rest in peace, though.
Once eardrum is backwards, once people flip that, man, I'm going to pay you back.
I don't even know if they, yo, to be honest, was they even, I don't think they was racial murder at the time.
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it, because I don't think they got with Mike Will yet.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
I didn't even think about that. That's crazy. But, nah, they hella cool, man. It's just wild. Like, and I know you've been here, so it's like to see all these people that we used to kind of just see, and then it just
– yeah.
And it's somewhat kind of like me have a hand in certain things. I'd be like, damn, this shit is dope. You know what I mean? Like, Atlanta's been awesome.
One day I was with some guys from Atlanta, and we were telling stories about the first time we saw Thug. Mm-hmm. And what we thought, because we just heard the music first.
Yeah.
And then we saw him, and then it was like, all right, this is not the stoner that I thought I was listening to, Like, this does not look like Danny Glover would approve this at all. But also, hey, the songs is jamming. The songs is in the streets.
Yeah, man, I was... It's always funny because it's like I would see people after they were popular. Well, I would hear songs, like you said, and then wouldn't see them. And then when I see them, I'd be like, oh, that's such and such. And I would never know they was artists.
Yeah.
So like Nick, like Trinidad. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I went to school with him.
So I think, matter of fact, we was probably around each other when it got popping.
And yeah,
people was always talking about him. And I did not know who it was. And then when I saw his, so I was like, oh, that's buddy that worked at the, but I didn't know him like that.
Right.
One of my homeboys.
He worked at Underground.
Right. My man, this cat, Mike Boyd Jr. that worked with Gary V,
mm-hmm.
was putting me on to people. And I was just like, yo, I don't know who you talking about. But then I see him and I'd be like, man, I know him from
it's
such
nuts.
And such.
We in the same sixth grade class.
Mm-hmm.
And we got school uniforms. I really feel like the uniforms have all of us that came out of that school looking crazy. But like after seventh grade, he goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see Nick again until the Yeezy ones come out.
Oh, wow.
And he in the front of the line. He got the list. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's in charge. He got the list.
He checking everybody.
Also, he got the other Yeezys on his feet. So now we all looking like, yo, this man is crazy.
It was destined.
He probably got hands.
Right,
because
right.
Why is he at the Yeezy line with the Yeezys
list.
On?
And the list.
And the list.
And that's when it was big jacking.
So then that was Twitter air. We got each other's Twitters and stuff. And so then he would like send me his music and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But every time he sent me his music, the arrogance of me, I'm always responding like, man, you got to come to a show. I'm like, dang, this. I look back at the tweets. I'm like, man, this is crazy. You know, like every time, hey, listen to my song. Hey, come to a show. You know, so. I remember him being out. And being like, he had like a hat. It had all the Olympic pins. Remember when the Olympics?
Yeah.
Well, you weren't here yet, but the Olympics had like different pins, you know, for every event and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just being like eccentric, but like, you know. And then I'm with these two Caucasian women, and we're leaving. I'm trying to remember the spot. It's like over by Lindbergh in Buckhead or whatever. And they play All Gold Everything in the car. That's the first time I heard it.
Was Wet Willie's up there at that time?
Wet Willie's. That's what, Yeah. We leaving Wet Willie's. They play All Gold Everything. And I'm like, what the hell is this? What is this? You know what I'm saying? Like in my head. I mean, I'm not, right. I don't even want to speak my disdain for the situation, but I'm very uncomfortable because of the triple nigga. that just happened. But also I'm like, what is this? Then when I see the video, I'm like, oh my God.
That's
Nick.
Yeah. Man, so in the video. I thought you was there.
I was not there.
So they shot the video part of it at L Bar.
Okay.
And I was holding a light in the video for Motion Family. It was just
wow.
So Motion Family, they like, you know who Motion Family is.
Yeah.
So they like some of my good friends. D-Juan Valdez, one of my best friends. And
I definitely would pull up when they were shooting videos trying to get a skit on, right. Trying to be like Shawty and Duval. Like, yeah.
So Motion Family, their first video on MTV was my first video.
Okay.
Yeah, Wonderful Life with Playboi Trey and Scar. But I just so happened to go to L Bar that night and was like, yo, and my homie J Dirt, Baller Z Radio in New York, who actually was managing Nick as well with the other Jay from out here, they was like, yo, we shooting Nick's video. And I was just like, Nick, I was like, Trinidad. I was like, oh, shit. So D-Wong was like, hey, man, this is what D-Wong always says if you his friend and he needs something from you. Friendship test, man. Can you hold this light for me? I'd be like, damn it, man.
Yeah.
I do it because he's helped me move from apartments and all that shit. So, you know,
it's speaking to your character.
Right.
Like, hey, if you don't do this.
Right, you ain't shit.
Then, you know, don't ask me for nothing.
Right.
Because this is the test.
Nah,
I like that.
But no, it was good, man. And rest in peace, Speaker Fox was dead. That was a good
man,
night. Everybody was
rest
dead.
Rest in peace,
man.
Speaker Fox.
It was a good night, man. But to see that shit just like, I literally was just talking to J Dirt like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, man, like, I knew the day when that joint was like going to blow up because of the way, like, I know the work that J Dirt was putting in and I knew how the song was going.
Yeah.
So I was just like, people never really saw, well, like, at the time I was going back and forth to New York, I'd be like in Fader offices and, you know, XXL Complex, shit like that. And if you had all of those publications and then you had the money to be on World Star and the song was good, it's just like a catalyst to just, you know, go.
The song was bubbling, but when he had the, like, you know, he had them long nails and the Versace on.
Yeah, look,
and he a sneakerhead. He not even like the, like, you know, he wear a little bit of everything.
Right.
But
right.
He could have tried to be like, I'm a flex with my sneakers and stuff. But it wasn't
he had on,
that.
He had on loafers or
he
something?
He had on
or
some loafers, no socks.
Right.
And this in a time when nobody's dressing like that.
Right.
And polarized. Just like, you know, And then the panda mask with the slouch the socks on, yeah, with the, right. You know what I'm saying? Like the whole thing, and it's just like, ooh.
It just made everybody be like, who is that?
Right, what because like wrong? Videos at that time, they weren't just going to take you to another level unless you did something.
Some creative.
And it's like, you know, like Tyler, the Creator had the roach.
Yeah.
You know, but also he had a secret machine behind him. You know, like, they, you know, he was on a minor label that mm-hmm. the major label set up.
Yeah.
You know, to look like, you know.
A lot of people don't remember that, you know, our Future and them used to be out here heavy.
Really?
Yeah, like one of the main producers, I forget his name.
I missed all of that. I missed all of that. I didn't know about them till they was on Fallon.
You know, it's funny because it's like a cat like Reese, right? You know Reese.
Yeah.
So Reese LaFleur, like Reese kind of knew. I was traveling like as much as him too, and I would know some of these people, but he knew all of these people, like, and they would all be here. Like it'd be times when we'd be in the studio and somebody would come through and be like, oh, shit. And then later on in years, you're like, wait, that's...
Reese knows everyone.
Yeah, man.
Like, you would see Reese in the background of everybody's picture. It was nuts.
Yeah, man.
And then Reese worked at the Urban Outfitters. That's where I met him.
I've known Reese for a very long time. I didn't know he worked at Urban Outfitters.
Right around the corner from you. That's in Lenox. Crazy. In Lenox.
I did not know that he worked there.
Yeah.
Like, I knew Reese when he was skateboarding. He was like,
oh yeah, no, he probably got in trouble because he was wearing like he wasn't wearing nothing they sold at Urban. He was wearing all Supreme, working at Urban
ice cream.
Yeah,
yeah. I've been knowing Reese was in my phone for the longest time as Skater Reese.
Yeah,
that was his name,
right? Because when I met him, he told me he was a skateboarder.
Yeah,
I don't even know how we even. I don't even know how we ended up talking because I don't.
It's the scene, man. Like, you just. Because you got to think. Like, parties like Broken Bougie, and then when Skate Teak was here, we'd always end up, you know, go to. Like,
right. Because, yeah, I think I met him, and then I saw him at Broken Bougie, mm-hmm. and was like, oh, I just met this dude at Lenox. Yeah. He told me he's a skateboarder, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
I remember. It's funny. I remember Reese is on, you know, Dom Kennedy from the West Side with Love. Mm-hmm, first album, mm-hmm. he's on that album.
Okay.
So he's not rapping. He's doing ad-libs because we was all recording in this one studio, the homie Jay, and shout out to my man Fu, DJ Fu. He just got some joints on Schoolboy Q new album. But we was all recording in this one studio, and Dom had did some joints in there, and Reese did like the ad-libs. And when it came out, I was like, oh shit, they really used that shit.
Wow.
It's a song. Is it? It's the... Damn, it's like the third track on the first one. The one with like 97 and I Ain't Never Left and all that shit. But yeah, man, you know, he was tapped in, and you know, that era just created so many people, and so many people was coming to Atlanta.
Right.
He was just trying to catch that wave, you know what I'm saying?
And so I'm seeing this and I'm like, I know where my abilities are not. I know that I suck at retaining lyrics. I could barely recite songs in the club. Mm-hmm. I'm not a rapper, but I do feel like I have a personality. I do want to be, you know, a thing. And so I'm thinking I'm going to be the comedian
to the rappers
in that world.
You ended up being
right, but I didn't know how long it would take. I thought I would just like jump into it, and because there wasn't a comedian in that world,
it was
just gonna be like, all right, well, it's got to be Rob. He's the only one here, you know.
I'm really thinking about it. Like, it was nobody that was really.
I feel like that world and the comedy world was so separate because when I started doing comedy. I started to get pulled, I feel like, away from what was going on.
Yeah,
and like so, like, a lot of the department store, father, mm-hmm. a lot of that stuff, I would be in proximity to, you know, I would see, you know, like, 2-9, you know, like a lot of the stuff that was popping, I would see it, but I couldn't just be in that scene because I was doing working. Spots. I was hustling. I was in Roswell. I mm-hmm. was on Old Nat. I was, you know, at 255. I was at the comedy clubs. I was just all over the place, you know?
Same here. Like, I was, I mean, of course, I knew 2-9 since the beginning. But since it was Pilot Music and Diss and Wiz Khalifa, shout out to my brothers Curtis and Key.
Yeah.
Nah, this is funny.
Goddamn, boy, that nigga mad.
Yeah, it's crazy that you play this song. And I see a lot of...
Well, I have to for the people who don't know what we're
talking
about.
I've seen a lot of cats on podcasts lately, and shout out to my bro. Shout out Curtis King. Shout out Key.
Yeah.
Key tell you. Key is on... This was Key's song first. Shout out to Macko, too. But
really?
This was Key's song at first. And if I'm wrong, I know people are going to like the comments up, but I taught Key how to write records. And he'll tell you that. But he, super dope talent that I feel like should be bigger than a lot of people. But, you know what I mean? Shout out to Key. And shout out to Macko, too. The song was crazy.
Like, the song went crazy.
I was watching that video like 2 days ago, and it's like one of the homies in there that passed away, and I'm like, his name is like slipping me from that right now. But I was just like, damn, man. Like, being out here is so crazy. Like, seeing all these... To me, you know, I'm older than them, so like seeing these kids go through all these stages of life. Like, we used to be in an apartment with the homie Nick recording on a 15-inch MacBook, like one of the white old MacBooks or whatever.
Yeah.
It'd be like me, Key, Curtis, I forget who else was in there. And I remember like one day me and Curtis got to like fighting and like, you know, play fighting and shit.
Yeah.
But it's like from that to then being like 2-9 being 2-9 and shout out Siege, shout out damn, it's so many of them. Fat Kid's brother, Dave, and them. And,
yeah.
I'm missing, damn, the homeboy, Jace. Jace, man. So much talent. Like, Atlanta has so much talent, man. It's just crazy.
Right. And that's not, we're not even talking about the YCs and the Futures and the Roscoe Dashes and the Young LAs and the J Money and the FLYs and the, you know what I'm saying? We talking about a specific pocket.
Yep.
That was, you know, also going on at the same time, you know?
Yeah, we are. Like, you know, I was like, we kind of created that shit. Shout out to, like I said, my man Grip Plies, Alien Craft, Holly Weird.
Yeah,
my brother Dreamer. I was just there the other day. Shit, it was so many people, man. Even back then, like,
Holly Weird.
The homie Nesby Phipps was up here. He did the first show with Drake out here.
Honestly, if I think. In a different era, if Hollywood had TikTok, you know what I'm saying?
They should still jamming.
If they had access to like some of the stuff that is like, you know, where you could show off your personality, because I feel like they were characters, and they were hilarious, but also, you know, it was at a time where like, you couldn't always just put that in the front when you were doing music, if you wanted to, you know, be serious about music.
Getting a video done and like being able to have visuals around what you was doing didn't really become like easily and readily accessible until like the 2-9 era.
Yeah.
And you know, because it's like, you know, you still had to find somebody that could afford to have a camera.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't nobody really shooting with their phone like that.
And then you might have a guy with a camera. That don't mean that. His access to computer editing software, you know, vision, you know, like it's a lot of things that got in the way, and a lot of money. Money was the biggest gatekeeper, you know. Fact. Yeah.
Now it was a crazy time. Like I was telling you earlier, like I shot a lot of videos in the space that we in now, and like it was like homies looking out. You know what I'm saying? Like my pitch would be like, look, I'm gonna shoot this video, and we gonna get on MTV. And I would do it, you know what I'm saying?
I remember you did one of them 106 and Park freestyles.
Yeah, 106 and Park, I did MTV 2.
Did they only get freestyle. Philly people to do that?
Nah.
There
was a lot of people
Lil
on that
Dicky
job.
Did it. I feel like it was, I was like, wait a minute. Is it only Philly people doing this 106 and Park freestyle?
Nah, it was funny too. My homegirl actually connected me with the people, and it was interesting. My homegirl, shout out Dolly Bishop. She part of Black Effect Podcast Network.
Okay.
But, she connected me. And then my guy, DJ Quiz, was backing me up. G-Eazy DJ. You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
It
was dope, man. I still be looking back like, damn, I got off some bars. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
but I did that. I did MTV 2 when I used to do the Sucker Free, Sucker Free freestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I did that joint. I did that shit in the Bronx.
Yeah.
Yeah, 179th and Burnside in front of my man Barbershop. And it was like so much stuff. Like I did a joint. Yo, that era was so crazy because I was doing so much stuff because the blog was like, blogs were king.
Yeah.
So any content you could get on a blog, like, shout out to two dope boys, Mecca and Shake. They put me, they was like the first people to, man. To post
that was my blog. Mecca Soul Mix Show informed me on so much old school music. Yeah. I used to check two dope boys every day.
They the guys, man. Shit, my man SK now right. Shit, Ill Roots. It was so many.
Yeah,
my project with SMKA was their first like standalone with an artist project, and it was SMKA Ill Roots. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was so much shit going on. Like the blogs was like we was so trying to get any new shit on the blogs. I did a collab with Rocksmith. You know what I mean? Like I was just doing
Rocksmith,
so much shit.
I still got a Rocksmith Digital Underground shirt, and then after Shock G passed, I was like, I can't.
You can't let it go.
Yeah, I had the they had like a shirt, and it was like an Andy Warhol picture, but it was Obama's face.
Oh shit!
And I was wearing it before, like during the primary for 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the background of this picture, and these people on Facebook was like flaming me, and they was killing me about my shirt. I was like, this is nuts. First of all, this Obama on my shirt.
Right, right.
Second of all, it's fresh. Third of all, it's just like, you know, like what is going on? But they just, yeah.
You
they
know
just,
what time it was.
I was in the future. I was in the future.
Yeah, one of my homeboys, he's, you know, like when they did the Basquiat Biggie T.
Mm-hmm.
So my guy, Eric Jordan, he designed that. He designed the Stevie Wonder one and the Eazy-E and a couple other joints. And then, like, that was, like, my introduction to going up to New York and doing a lot of shit up there, to be honest.
Did you ever put New York on a pedestal? Were you ever, like were you
up,
ever worried about, like, this is the Mecca, this is where hip-hop started?
I mean, you know, you get told that, and it's just, but I'm from Philly, so it's like,
yeah,
I was just like, I'm from Philly. Like, we had... I'm older, so it's like I grew up in Winfield,
mm-hmm.
Will Smith.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Jazzy Jeff. Like, I'm seeing these people, even though they did some wild shit, but like Cool C, Steady B, Three Times Dope, like I'm seeing these people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, New York was like, I listened to all that shit, and I was a huge fan of everything that came out of New York, but it was just like, Philly too. You know what I'm saying?
Do you feel like you missed out on being there when like State Property was popping and stuff?
Nah, I was there. I was there when State Property was popping.
I thought you said you moved to Atlanta in 2000.
Nah, I moved to Atlanta in 2004. I came to visit in 2000.
Oh.
So I was back and forth. I didn't move to 2004. So I was between school and Philly when State Property was popping.
Gotcha.
So like I would go home. My homegirl T-Bone, she used to do this party called Red Sky on Tuesdays in Philly.
Yeah.
And, like, Siegel would be in there, Freeway, all types of people would be in that job. So, it was like... And then I ended up being managed by the same person as Freeway.
Really?
Shout out my brother Free, man. Good dude. Yeah. My man Amir. Blame the label on social media. He held me down with the management for a while. Good dude. But, yeah. It was dope seeing it. Like, man, I used to ride my... Come on, man. I used to ride the turnpike back and forth from school to Philly.
Yeah.
Blasting this Freeway album. Yeah, the Freeway album. Yeah. And State Property album, soundtrack and all that. It's crazy, yo. That's another thing, too, because it's like... I went to high school with my brother.
Okay.
Beneath from Young Gun.
Yeah.
His brother, Jack. His little friend. His name is my Jack. So, like... When we was in high school, I would be rapping against him and other cats in the lunchroom, but him and a couple other dudes, they was nice. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, like, okay. So,
yeah.
Sean, what's your favorite color sky?
Favorite color sky?
Yeah.
Shit, like the purplish-orange one.
Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah. It's a popular one for sure. I'm in the same type of time.
That shit is like serene, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sunset.
Yeah, blue is jarring.
Okay.
Sometimes you be like, but nah, that's like the chill.
Mm-hmm.
That's the shit you listen to Larry June to.
Okay.
Numbers.
Do you believe in any other universes?
Of course.
Yeah.
Gotta be. There's no possible way it could just be us.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I hope not, because a lot of people here suck.
Right. I mean, do you think we'll ever be in contact with anybody from anywhere else?
I feel like we probably already are, but it's just like I look at life and access to technology like driving a car with the governor on it. Like, you know, this car can go faster if this thing was taken off of it, right?
Okay, okay. You know what I'm saying? That's like, called the governor?
Yeah, they call it the governor. Yeah.
Gotcha.
It governs the speed of the vehicle.
I remember when we I was in debate in high school, we would take trips, we'd have a big like a little mini bus or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there was a limit on how fast it could go.
Yeah. It's like driving a U-Haul. That motherfucker. But it probably, you know, you open it up and go faster. But I just say, like, it's so much information that has probably already been there. Mm-hmm. Like, even when they open up, you know, documents and shit, it's like, oh, we've been knew about this. So, of course, right. There's probably other universes, other things going on we're just not privy to.
What is, if there's other Sean Fallions in other universes, what are they doing?
Just probably being a dope-ass individual. Like, you know, we don't do too much, man. We try to raise up, break the ceiling, and just do cool shit, man. Hopefully they ain't out there doing whack shit. If they are, I'm gonna find you.
When did you start DJing?
Man, I started professionally DJing in 2014. I've started learning how to DJ in the 90s, which is weird.
Okay, because, yeah, my fiance knows you as a DJ. She's like, you know Sean, DJ Sean? I was like, DJ Sean?
Like, I know Sean, for real. Like,
yeah.
Nah, I was like, man, when I was young and starting it, my homeboy started, I tell the story all the time, but my homeboy got the equipment when we was kids.
Okay.
And this is like one of my best friends to this day, DJ Rick G's. So I would be trying to learn while we go buy records together. I'd be trying to learn. I ain't had the money for the equipment. Yeah. Knew my parents wasn't buying that shit. Yeah. So I just like, I'm a rap. And then I started rapping. And then like later on in life, he becomes the Clips DJ. And like one of the best DJs in the world, shout out my brother Rick. And then becomes Pusha T DJ for like a decade. And like in the process of that, I always had homies that were DJs, like really dope DJs. My guy DJ Active, he's Janet Jackson DJ. My homie GQ, like DBIC, who was Crit DJ at the time, was okay. My business partner. They would just always be like, yo, when you going DJ? You know what I mean? Because I like in college, I was the dude that got all the music.
Okay.
And then I rap. So like I was saying this to one of my homies yesterday. Like if you know how to rap, and like DJing is not going to be easy, but if you know the anatomy of a song, sometimes DJing just is like the next thing, or production. So I started doing all of them, but DJing was like, I never did it because I was so critical of other DJs.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I ain't going to take this shit serious, I ain't going to do it. So when I jumped into doing it, of course, I wasn't the greatest at first, but that shit took me around the world, man. I got better.
Hey,
I love that shit.
You were nice. You were nice when I got to see you spin in New Orleans.
Appreciate that.
That was
a good time, man.
Yeah.
Those are those moments. You know, you don't always have a great, like, in your mind. It's just like, it might probably, I guess, probably like comedy. Like, you might kill, and in your mind, you're like, I could have did this different. But, like, that night, I was just like, oh, no. I'm on.
Like, like, the whole lineup was good. Yeah, and then also the crowd was so dope. It was just like, living in L.A., mm-hmm. I'm not used to seeing everybody have fun. I'm used to seeing somebody have fun.
Like a few of y'all.
Sometimes I'm having a good time.
Right.
But it's like I gotta ignore all these people
like
who
they ain't having
I don't
fun
know what
hey,
they're
turn
doing.
Turn your back.
I just have to block out people not having fun. It's crazy. It's like I think everyone here in this room is having a blast.
Right.
I think, you know, maybe people by the bar are frustrated, but here where like the dance floor is in the balconies.
It's entitlement, man.
Having a great time.
It's entitlement. We live with our phone. We live with our phone in our hand. That's like when DJs, when you know, they always ask DJs, like, you like taking requests. DJs hate taking requests because, think about it, you took your time to interrupt this man working a whole crowd of people.
Yeah.
To have him play one song that only you want to hear.
Right, right.
That's crazy. That's like somebody being like, somebody, you being on stage and be like, hey, do that one joke the whole time.
Right, right, right.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. I never thought about it like that. I have spun, I've taken requests, but I always am like, I'm going to find a route to that. I take it as like a challenge. Like, all right, play this. I'm not going to do a hard switch for you.
Yeah.
I'll take suggestions. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, you want to hear that? I got to figure out how to make that make sense from where I'm at.
That's a good DJ. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. I don't mind suggestions, but like, people come up with demands. Like, I DJed a spot in L.A., Simple Bar. You been to Simple Bar before?
I DJed
Simple Bar one time. It was an R&B party with the homegirl.
Had some rap parties there.
We did an R&B party. It was a couple of years ago. It was me. Shout out to homie DJ Artistic.
Shout out to Artistic. That's my homie out there. When I see him, I'm like, all right.
You know it's going to be a good
it's
time.
It's
going
to be straight. Those DJ. For sure.
So it was an R&B party, right? And my homegirl, Love G's R&B party. So we,
I know Love G. My sister went to high school with her.
Dope DJ.
I used to go to her party when I first got to LA. Yeah.
So we doing this
on
party.
On Thursdays. It was like bi-weekly.
Right. Facts. Yeah. I think this one was like a Saturday we did, though. And long story short, R&B party.
Yeah.
Put that up there, R&B party. So I'm rocking. So this girl comes up to the booth like, yo, can you play this? She puts her phone up, the trap most trapped out song ever, right? And I'm like, nah. And she was like, what? I said, it's an R&B party. This chick like got so mad at me.
Yeah.
Like literally waited to just end of the night. I'm like, I ain't gonna front, I killed my set. I was like, yo, thank y'all for having me. Everybody, she cut through the noise. Cause you know Simple Bar ain't that big.
Yeah.
Fuck you. You can't come back to LA. I was like, I said, hey, what? Ladies and gentlemen, clearly I cannot come back to LA. And then my homies in the crowd, Englewood Cat, he was just like, started talking crazy. Like, fuck, says who? Da-da-da-da-da. It just became this thing. And I was like, wow, R&B music is crazy. Like, you can't, like, I got the microphone. Like,
right.
She just looking crazy. I was just like, yo, the entitlement that you wanted me to change this whole party.
At an R&B party.
Man. But that's how people be acting. That's why DJs be mad, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
I just ignore people. I be like, nah, I'm not doing that. Suggestions, not demands.
Anything you want to tell the people? Anything you want to put out there?
Man, yo, Sean Fallon be everywhere. Book me for all your dope ass functions. Don't book me for no whack shit because I don't like whack shit. I started producing, so you know, I got all my shit on IG. I just did an instrumental tape, SFBE Volume 1. Check that joint out. I'm gonna get back to making music as well. Yeah, man, just holler at me. If you see, Some Good Party. Some Good Party, SUMNGOODPARTY on IG. If you see a Some Good Party in your town, make sure you're in attendance. We are bringing that just dance party shit back. You know, I feel like a lot of relationships I made, important relationships, came from dope-ass dance parties like Broken Bougie. Shout out to Fadia. And, you know, I was like, there ain't no age on having a good-ass time at a dance party.
Facts.
So pull up on us. That's really it. SeanFallon.com for everything else you need.
Heck yeah.
Thank you, man.
Thank you for doing the pod. Appreciate it.
I'm proud of you, man. I know you. People don't like to hear that shit, but I'm like, as a friend, to see you working and being great at what you do, this shit is very dope. Don't ever stop this shit. At everything you do, the consistency of it, the podcast, the stand-up, the special was hilarious.
Man, thank you.
Very hilarious. You're one of my favorite comedians.
Y'all heard it. If you haven't heard the special, go check that out. Frontin'. It's on YouTube.
It's hilarious.
It's on iTunes. It's on Spotify. Wherever you listening to this or watching this, Frontin' is there, and you can check that out next.
Pull it up.
Yeah.
Pull it up. That bite the finger joke is fucking hilarious. Hey.